The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Courtney Coles. Hi, Courtney.
Hey.
Hi. Like, you can see me. Hi.
Well, thank you so much for joining. Like I mentioned before, I'm a fan of you and your work, so this is awesome that you're joining us. For those who may not know who you are, do you mind giving them a background on who you are and how you got into photography?
Do we want the, like, long version or, like,
bring
the
it.
Short and cute?
Bring it.
Long version.
Bring it.
Because I can talk forever.
Good, good.
My name is Courtney Coles. I am a photographer born and raised in Los Angeles, the San Fernando Valley, somewhere, you know, if people really know where that's at. I have 2 degrees. I have a BFA in photo from PNCA in Portland and my master's from CalArts. And I graduated 2 years ago, which feels weird to say because 2020 happened to all of us. So last year feels like 2019, but it totally wasn't.
Seriously.
Took like 10 years off our life.
It really did.
It's great. We're all fine. We're all living here. I have... Up until recently, I've been doing the dance of like, I do this, and then my personal life, I do that. Mm-hmm. But it's, we're owning our shit now. So,
yeah.
Photographer, yeah. I work in music sometimes. Also do a few freelance stuff for Wall Street Journal. But my actual work with the capital W is surrounded around my family, myself, my mom, my friends. And yeah, that wasn't very long, but like, you know, it was long in my head. what I do.
I'm like, you're not, we've had guests who've gone to like I went to photography school, so it was a 10-month program, and like having like a BFA, I'm like kind of jealous I like didn't go that route.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It was just such a fast program that I was like, I wish it was like drawn out a little bit longer and we learned more history and stuff like that. Did you get in the darkroom in college or?
I did.
Yeah.
So my background is in journalism. And so I started off as a writer, like as a young bub, little pup. And my high school teacher mentioned you should go to Pierce College because they have the best newspaper/media arts program in LA.
Wow.
And I thought, if I'm going to take this serious, I might as well go to the best community college. Like, why go to Mission? Like, Mission College is a good school, but they didn't have a newspaper. So my thought process was, why walk to school? Why just drive across the valley and do that? And so I did the newspaper and magazine for a split second. And then I realized writing, I did love it, but I was like, I want to take pictures.
Yes.
Like, this is what I actually do.
Right.
And so I did the newspaper, I did the magazine. I did, I was also music director for our college radio station, which my friend brought back, and I had no idea. She was like mining me for ideas to, like, bring music. She just asked for, like, oh, local bands. And I thought, well, here's a list of unsigned bands. Little did I know that was, like, her test of, like, oh, no, you're the actual music. Have at it, kid. And I'm like, I'm 19. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this is...
Nah. Yeah.
And so that was my time, like, you know, my time at Pyrrhus. And I chose it also, you know, because they had a dark room. And I thought, I'm already taking pictures. I really want to learn how to properly handle my film and, like, do it the right way. I got there, and apparently the semester before I started, they got rid of the dark room, all their materials. And I'm just like, cool, I guess I'll learn digital too. But I didn't have the money. Like, I spent all my money, like my first paid paycheck, to get a 35 millimeter camera. And I'm like, no, I'm learning film. I'm going to do it. And so when it came to look for schools, I was drawn to CalArts early on. And I thought, like, I would love to just go to CalArts. It's a dream school. But then found PNCA, and they had a dark room, and I thought, okay, this is my time to shine. I want to go to Portland.
Yeah.
I want to learn how to do this. And it was my second year when I was able to take, like, my beginning photo classes and stuff. And I was so terrible at printing, but it was totally okay. I remember my final, I went through an entire box of paper just trying to print one image. And I was so frustrated. My mom was like, listen, this is your first time in the dark room.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. If you don't get it right. You're not perfect. And I'm like, you're saying all the wrong things. Yeah.
Shut up, mom.
I am the best at what I do. How dare you tell me to work harder? It's okay. But I've never printed color, and I knew that CalArts had a color dark room. And so when it came to choosing grad schools, I was like, I already know how to handle.
Yeah.
Digital printing, let me actually make my thesis with my film camera and also, like, get in the dark. Never step foot in the dark room. I'm so sad for the 2 years I spent there when I could have easily done it. It was just, I outsourced my printing, which is totally fine. But the whole, like, thought process of, like, CalArts, color dark room, we're doing it.
No, I mean, it's we've had past guests who talk about it. It's like a serious thing to be in a color darkroom. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if I could do it either.
It's so serious. Yeah. And like, I remember hearing from friends who did print in color and went, you know, digital and everything, that to properly handle what you're doing in Photoshop and Lightroom, you must have an idea of how to do it in the darkroom. Like, it's hard to go backwards. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to learn this. And it just never came. And now I'm like, it's too late. It's fine.
I think a lot of photographers don't do their own printing. You know, there's people who are like printers, you know? So.
Oh, that's a different part of your brain.
For sure.
I totally respect everyone who knows how to do it from A to Z.
Yeah.
Like, I know A, B, F, and Y, but, like, I don't know the entire spectrum of, like, I know what I want, I know how to say it, but to actually do it, I've given up control of, like, I must be the person to touch all the, I just outsource.
Dude, there's absolutely no shame in that, because, I mean, some of the greats and legends of this thing had printers, you know? They had people that, and that, I mean, I've said it a million times on this show, I'm that stubborn person that needs to take it from point A to point B to point C, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think of that, like, I would love to just have the courage to hand my stuff off to somebody and be like, take care of it, you know? And
it takes a lot. It's a lot because all my prints that I do have are from Richard Photo Lab, which is like a local, or I guess local adjacent, but it was local to CalArts. And so I would send my stuff to the dark room, which is where I sent in my film since 08. So I started, and they outsourced their larger prints to Richard. And when I got those actual, like, thesis prints, I actually cried.
Yeah.
He like saw it. He's like, no, save your tears for when the work is on the wall. Yeah. I'm like, no, these are beautiful. You don't get it. Now everything's been inkjet until now. Like, it hasn't been real prints. But I mean, I've had real prints since the PNCA, but something about having your stuff on actual, like, I don't know, printer paper. Mm-hmm. It's just like, Jesus Christ, I forgot that feeling of that.
Even when it's like small prints, know, like, anytime we forget that it's like, a photography is meant to be a tangible thing.
It's a tangible thing. And like, that's the thing that I forgot about until I had my first studio visit, first semester at CalArts. It was with Hank Willis Thomas, and he like just I was nervous because I'm just like, oh my God. He's like standing in my studio, which I, you know, use in his office. I didn't make work in the studio. I just went there to like edit and like all that.
Yeah.
And so he just walks in and is asking me like, you know, point blank, who you are, what work you do. And I'm just like, nah, I'm from here. It's the. And so after like spending time in my studio, he said, you know, your work is very tangible. Like, ooh, it's very personal. You take so much time and care in doing it, but like everything's just like, it's digital. Like, you have your phone, you have your laptop, but yeah, this is like your office space, your thinking space. What would it look like if you just got rid of all that? I'm like, got rid of what? Whoa. What are you talking about? He's like, if you just got rid of your cell phone, your like laptop, your email, your texting, even, you know, internet for a week to really get into the space that you've been making your work in, because like, you have your test prints on the wall, but like, you're not actually making things with your hands. And I was like, I don't like this. Logging off for a week. What?
Wow.
But then like that, like logging off for a week did bring me back to the space where I used to be of, I'm making my shitty test prints. I'm actually spending time with this work and really thinking about why film and not digital, because I use both, but like for my work,
yeah,
it's all film. And so it's like, if I'm going to use film, I need to actually really be in that space and like be tangible. And then I should have used the dark room that week, but didn't. That would have been a great time to go like, I'm going back to my roots. But I learned early on that no, if I didn't want to be that, you know, crying 22-year-old in the dark room, like, I can't do it. I was already crying about my thesis. I need to cry more. So it was that whole space of, okay, I'm going to, like, log off everything, really get in that headspace of, like, getting back to,
wow,
the tangibleness of it all. So I have a bunch of test prints that I still love and have. And so thanks, Hank, for, I mean, going, log off, do your thing.
Yeah, I was like, that's just, like, such a, like, an amazing idea to just, mm-hmm, be like, I'm gonna be with my art for a week, I'll talk to y'all later.
BRB, like, yes. Grad school is that serious. I heard that as an undergrad. If you do grad school, the best time to do it is before you have kids,
yeah,
before you get married. And I'm like, I'm single, I have no kids,
right.
Let's do grad right. school. And then I dipped out for 2 years. I'm so sorry, friends. I'm back now. Let's party.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Dude, that's so important, though. Mm-hmm. Like, logging off is... I've been doing that recently. I'd say since about Christmas, I kind of just checked out of the internet. And
I love that. I'm envious of that.
And it kind of... you know, I miss out on things. I'll get a text from Chris, you know, oh, did you see that? Or did you see this? Or my mom's like, did you see that? And I'm like, I haven't gone on in so long. And like, but I'll tell you what, with work and with trying to start new hobbies and just being like a person that's involved in things, you know, family and starting a new job and my photography and music, mm-hmm, and all that stuff, like, it's so hard when you have a phone in your hand. And even when you don't think you're on it all the time, like, you are literally, mm-hmm, on it all the time. I mean, it's just
all the time. And you're like hyper aware of it. And I become like, why am I on this?
Yeah.
I need to go away. Mm-hmm. Stop.
I used to read books. I used to read like at least a book a month.
Same.
And I like haven't been able to like focus on a book.
Really?
I have like 8 books in rotation. I can't zone. Yeah, it's terrible. I have photo books, but like books.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't know how to actually focus.
I feel like.
Me too.
This is like giving me ideas. Like, I might need to just like.
Yeah.
For like a solid, even like 4 or so days.
Yeah.
Like, I tried limiting my time on like different like platforms, but I need to really just zone in, like, okay, for a solid week or just like log off and like log on maybe like an hour tops, but like pick and choose those like 5 minutes, because if no one's texting you something important, there's no point to actually be like, I'm zoning out on Twitter. It's like, no, don't do that.
And I'm just like, we're talking about like in like relation to your art. I'm just like super curious to like, even not just for myself, if anybody listening does that and like, you know, reports back, like, I took a week off and I shot whatever number rolls of film and I've made the best work in a long time. Like, it's just, I feel like that's so important, you know?
It's so important because I'm forever inspired by the most random things I see online, and then that inspiration like
that's true. Yeah,
it's just like, oh man, I went outside and did this, and becomes like a whole mm-hmm. like, self-loathing right. thing. So it's like, once I feel that going, it's like, all right, kid,
yeah
like, time to really just like watch some Schitt's Creek, don't beat yourself up over things. But I think that was like probably, I mean, I've gotten a lot of great advice from, you know, grad school, but that I think that stop me from having the biggest breakdown because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
And then it became like a, you know what you're doing. It's on the wall.
Right.
Like,
wow.
Make like how to make this deeper than what you're currently doing. And so he like mentioned collage work, which I have kind of thought of doing, but I haven't done yet. Mm. But it's just a whole thing of like tangible. What do you mean? Like I have prints on the wall. And he's like, no, more. Log off. Do more.
Oh, I just, I love that. I want to like hit stop. Can we do this like later? I'm really in the mood to do something
I'm
right
now. So inspired. Yeah. I gotta go. Yeah. I have to leave.
See you guys.
So Courtney, when you mentioned you shoot digital for, you do digital for work as well, because I've tried to like make the switch. Do you do that for like the convenience, or would you like to be shooting more film with these like, you know, freelance gigs that you get, or what's that?
I would love to use film for some of the freelance stuff I get, but also most of what I get is so quick and I understand why they respect the, you know, digital, here we are. Yeah. But I think when it comes to like long-term projects, I will love it if like an editor or a publication just gives me the freedom and the budget to like use our film, because I've tried for so many years to mix the two.
Right.
Because I guess me as a person, I don't really care about the camera per se. It's more like what fits for the moment and what fits for the thing I'm photographing.
Definitely, yeah.
Sometimes it's my phone. Sometimes it's the iPhone. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, my like 35, whatever will fit in this. But in this moment, like it's better to have my phone documenting this than like my Mamiya or something. But I would love it if like Wall Street was like, you know, we have this long-term thing. Do you want to just have at it? It's like, yes, I would love to.
That's
just
the dream.
Walk out and do a thing. And here we go. But I respect that. Well, actually, the reason why I do use digital is because in my first photo class, the teacher mentioned it's important to know how to use, you know, all formats because you never know who's going to ask you to like do what.
Yeah.
And it's okay to have preference, but like the money goes where it's at.
Right.
And I'm just like, film forever. Yeah. You're not my mom. Yeah. And then I realized, no, that's actually great to know how to do both, because if you learn, I mean, I start off on film, but if you like start off on film, it's the transformation or the, what's the word? The Oh my gosh, my brain is working.
Yeah, now
the bridge. Bridge to digital is like easy to cross because you're not like going backwards of like, how do I meter? How do I do this? Like, you know what you're doing. And so I took it to kind of still stubborn, but you know, took it to heart of like, all right, if I really want to get hired for stuff, yes, prefer film, but also still know digital in the event that my film should fog or like camera breaks or what have you. And so I've been so thankful and able to like, when I do get those calls of, I know your website says use film, but like, this is a quick turnaround. It's due Monday. Can you? I'm like, yes, I have a Mark IV.
Yeah.
I can do this. Like, everything's great. Most of what you've seen that's like in the commission part, it's digital. We're good to go. And they're like, okay, one day we'll give you the opportunity to use film.
You
until then,
you got to start planting that seed now, I think. Just feel like.
I'm like, anyone who wants to spend some time, I got the energy. I can totally do it. Call me.
I think thankfully a lot of things are kind of going that way. I mean, I don't know personally because I don't have my toe dipped in like doing that kind of stuff, but I just, you know, you hear so much about it and I feel like film has just become so popular again that
it's nice to watch the full circle come back.
Yeah.
At the beginning of like the digital thing, because it was 2007 I bought my first camera and then it's like watch digital become like, because I think the Mark II had just come out and like everyone was using it because it's the best camera that like emulated film. And I was like, that's wonderful, but I don't have like that much money.
Yeah.
I'm 18.
Yeah, for real.
We're fine. Yeah. And so it's like, watch it do the full lap around. Like, we're back to like having our terrible point and shoots and like all of that. I'm like, yes, this is amazing. We're back at the beginning. Now we all know, like, you know, we all did the race and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's great that it's there, but it's also, all right, publications, who wants to give people actual money to make the work they're like pitching and stuff. So I'm waiting for that to come, throwing out in the universe somewhere.
I feel like it's, we've talked to a few of our guests and it's like starting to like, I think people are like wanting for like hiring you for you. And then you say, well, this is part of it. You know, and they're like, fine, like, what's the budget? You know, because it's like speaking for itself, you know?
Yeah. Like, we want that. Whatever you do, yes, here you go.
Like, what?
Whoa, cool.
I actually can't do it on digital, so.
Numbers, what are numbers? Yeah. I was expecting you to say no. Yeah, so. Yeah. Come back to me tomorrow. Like, I'll have a better idea of what the budget is.
Let me look on B&H real quick. Let's see how much.
All this film is. Like, I don't even know. Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the prices going bananas these days.
It's so weird. I know. It's so wild, but also I love it.
Yeah.
I love Kodak so much. Like, I'll go they can charge like $20 a roll and I'll probably make it work.
That's what
somehow.
I said.
Yeah, I say that all the time. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but my analogy is like when people are like, you know, gas is expensive. It's like, well, I still got to get gas. It's like,
yeah, I still got to go to work. Yeah.
I still got to shoot film. So I'm just going to.
It's like not even a want, an actual necessity. Yeah. So it's like, it's one of those things where you budget for it. It stinks how you have to raise it up.
Yeah.
But also, gas has been raising so much since I've been driving and I still am filling up my dump tank.
Yeah. I don't even look anymore. I don't even look. I'm just like, here we go.
I'm like, oh man, 45, whatever. One day I'll go back to 40. Yeah. Like, I'm fine. I guess there's no coffee today. It's everything's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, it works out.
I know you're a co-founder of a collective. Can you tell us a little bit about that? We'd love to hear that story.
So I can't believe I left it on my own intro. Like,
how dare you?
How dare I do that? So usually the first thing I say is like, mouth garbage, here we go. So I co-founded To The Front, which is traveling until COVID happened. Traveling art show with women and non-binary artists working in working in music. And the first iteration of the shows featured just photographers.
Mm.
And then we grew to illustrators and directors and change stitchers and just pretty much all the talent behind the scenes. And before COVID, we had shows in LA, New York, Toronto, Nashville, Boston, back in LA again.
Wow.
And it started off with my friend Erica and I just like, let's just like do a thing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the best way to start something.
Yeah.
Because we're like, why are we waiting around for others to choose us? And so it was lovely because I was in a show for women of color, and like just an open art show, like not just photography, it's like, you know, all visual art. And the curators, I believe one of them, or maybe both of them, I think one of them, she was in a show like in LA a few months prior. And I think she was either the only one or one of the only non-white women in the show. And she was like, we're in fucking LA. Like, can I curse? I'm sorry. I just like,
oh, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're
fine.
All right. Not the FCC coming after me or anything, but like, we're in LA. Like, what do you mean? Like, you can't find other, like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Her thing was, why wait for someone to like choose more of us when I can just put out a call and like do it?
Damn.
And she like made a thing in Facebook, and I've always dropped my name in those things, never got a call back, but that was the first time someone did respond. I was like, oh, whoa, you actually want my work in your show?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And so Eric was at that show, and prior to her asking me, I had been thinking of like, this is beautiful. I wish I could do this in music, but I just don't know where to start or who to ask. And so when Erica was like, do you want to do something like this? I was like, fuck yes.
Yeah,
yes,
sign
yes,
me
yes.
up, me please, in. Please. I'm
stop
already here. Yeah.
I'm done. Where do we go? And so she was like, let's ask, you know, our friend Carly and Danny, like, just find a place and do it. And we had our first show the following month in LA. And we had no idea anyone would show up because we just like, let's just take our work off the internet
yeah.
and then print it and then put it on a wall and then go home. And then we couldn't go home because there was a lot of humans there.
That's amazing.
Anxiety.
I love that.
Oh my God. There are so many people here. Like, why are you here on a Wednesday? But we didn't think it would grow because we just saw like the one time, one hit wonder thing. And then it just grew to like over 50 artists. And it's the one thing that, even to this day, like, we've done so many interviews and so much has happened in like last 4 or so years. I'm still in shock that like people care, like people give a shit, because that first show existed because we were both so sad and so heartbroken that we weren't getting the gigs we were asking for. We weren't even like, no one cared, and we're like, I guess coffee forever, whatever. Like, we'll just make our dumb art. But it became a thing that from that heartbrokenness, we like made a thing because we were like, I'm not gonna wait for someone to choose me. So we chose ourselves, and then we still choose ourselves and people are choosing us. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, this is so weird to have people backing us. Dude, like, thank you. But also, oh my God. So yeah.
I feel like it's because we're ready for other kinds of artists. I feel like, you know, it's like, I know I'm ready. Like,
yeah, like, same.
I think a lot of us are ready for just exactly what you guys did. So I think that's wonderful. And I'm glad it was so successful, as it should be. And I hope you guys, you know, continue success with what you guys, whatever you guys do in the future, because that's just wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I hope so, too. It's like the one shining light in, like, all this darkness. Mm. Like, it's the one thing I'm like, at the end of the day, like, everything sucks, but everything we're doing with Two Different is just so, it's exactly what I wanted when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, it's the one thing I, like, wished existed but didn't know how to say.
Right.
I wish that existed until it became a thing. So the fact that younger photographers and artists are like looking at other artists in the collective as like, I like this person's art. I'm like, oh my gosh, you found this person's art because you probably Googled so-and-so.
Yeah.
like you found like a list of humans, but it's been so rewarding in like the most amazing way.
When you say show, what do your shows like entail? Like, what are you guys doing? Is there music involved and stuff? Like, are you, or is it, do you just hang and work or what?
All the above.
All the above. Okay, cool.
Everything but the, I think the first two shows, like LA and New York, I think they were just art. No, it was just LA. So LA, everything but LA has or had art on the walls, and then a local artist, you know, who have like a friend of like someone that will play. And everything is free. Like we, you know, of course there's donations and stuff. And if you wanted to buy art, all that went towards like, you know, future shows and or we'd raise money for local charities because, like, we're in your city. Like, why would we just take up space and not?
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
That's great.
So we've, like, no one's made actual money from the shows. It's gone back to the communities. But, yeah, we hang our shows well. We hang our art in venues such as, like, coffee shops or actual galleries. And a recent place or recent moment where – Erica asked, like, is it still DIY if we, like, get an actual gallery? I'm like, yeah, because we don't have managers and we're doing it ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
it's so punk. We're doing it on our own. And so it was that whole thing where she would have an idea and then, like, one-on-one, you know, bounce back on me of, like, is this still within our, you know, our ethos? I'm like, oh, hell yeah. It's totally fine. And so I was, like, the one, like, person with her tiny pinky toe in the art world, like, yeah, that's such a, it's so punk. It's so amazing. Like, but we also have to use frames. We use, like, thumbtacks or
that's such a good look.
For me, it's just like everything I want to do in the art world, but like don't have the spoons to like actually go against it, but to like walk in the group of like other punks like, all right, we're here for the night. Let's do it. So it's been like better with your friends than it is like alone. Be like, hi guys, I'm here to fuck shit up. Yeah, you can't tell all of us no. Yeah.
Oh man,
that thing.
Man, I miss going to art shows and just like events like that. How are you? I mean, obviously the pandemic put it on pause, but like with the vaccines and everything, are you guys like starting to like pull your feelers out? Yeah,
I think currently because we're doing, and then we have a tiny pause. We are doing a Twitch stream where we talk to like, people in the collective and like have them share their art and like kind of like a nerdy art thing of like, here's how I got into art and here's, you know, what I do. Right now we're doing like a monthly photo, not even a contest, it's just more like a photo thing to get you making work again because like we're all home, we're on the internet, like why not do something? But I do know that it's something we want to do is to, like, get back going and doing more shows and how can we make them more inclusive and how can we add more artists while still honoring those who are still in the, you know, spaces and stuff. And there's no actual process behind, like, picking artists. It's always just like a, all right, existing humans, we're going to be in blank city.
Right.
Who do you know in the city? And we ask those, like, six people, if they want to, like, join the massive party. But a lot of it is definitely just, like, space and also resources and all that. So hopefully with like the Fauci
everybody,
we can all just like really be in the same space and just like hug again, like talk about music and art and not just be in front of a screen.
I know.
But yeah.
Were you traveling every time too? Or would you go to every show?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh. Yeah. It was the thing where I, because the second or I think it was the third show, It was in Toronto, and that was my first semester in grad school. And I had told literally everyone, hey guys, I got into grad school. I'm dipping out for 2 years.
Yeah.
Don't call
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So peace. I didn't realize. I'm like, but wait, I kind of still want to do this, but I also can't miss school because I made a commitment.
Right.
Yeah.
And I tried so hard to like travel all my days off from school. And it became a thing where I don't know if it slipped up or if it like was just the tickets were cheaper. I told one of my teachers, like, hey, yeah, so I'm kind of a co-founder of this collective, and like we're doing the show in Toronto. It's like on this day, it's okay that I miss your class. Like I just don't want to not be here. And he was like, "Oh my god,
yeah.
Miss more than yeah. that. Like, come back on Wednesday." Yeah. Like blah blah whatever. And I'm like, let me go ask my mentor, who's also you know the chair and blah blah whatever, and also the dean. And they're both just like, "Go! Like, do you not know what you're doing? Like, people go to school to do what you're
yeah.
doing.
Yeah,
doing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, go do your thing." And so that me being afraid to tell my mentors yeah. what was happening outside of school made me laugh a little bit because it's just like, "You silly person! You could have easily just avoided all that by being like, hi, yes, so I work in music, kind yeah. of, but also like I love art and I'm gonna do an art show in another country. Gotta go." So, yeah, I traveled every one of them, and each show that was during school hours, I let teachers know, you know, what's happening. And I'm like, I'm sorry I'm missing crit, but also this is a thing
yeah.
that I've like poured my heart and soul out into, and I feel so terrible to like dip, like miss
right.
it. And so grad school is a lot of me spending half my time working music stuff and also like late nights in the studio, just
wow.
making them both kiss, but they wouldn't kiss. So it's just like, such a hard thing of like making it work. It did though, but
that's amazing yeah. though. Like that's I mean I've talked about it a million times on the show of like I've always wanted to do that, like have a little spot kind of like Carson Lancaster
yeah.
when we had him Lancaster, like he has the book and job gallery, like just like a spot where you can, you know, throw a band in the corner, bring mm-hmm. a couple artists in, you know, have
yes.
somebody painting there and
yeah.
there's some,
I love that.
You know, that's just like my dream, man, to do yeah. that. I want to do that so bad. Cause I used to put on like, you know, punk shows back in the day. That's what we did. We used to, you know, rent out fire halls and have awesome bands come in, you know, and it's just, I miss that. And that's not something you have to let go of when you grow up. I don't know why we always
but
feel
yeah,
like
yeah.
we have to like put our tie on and be a
professional.
Yeah,
I'm
come
sorry,
on.
I'm not. I'm a big kid.
No,
dude.
Right.
I'm not professional.
Right.
No, I can't wait. I just can't wait. I'm going to stop saying I can't wait till the pandemic's over because this, I mean, whatever.
It's going to be a forever
yeah,
thing.
I
can't wait for us to reach a place where it's
safe
to be
exactly.
in spaces together because I'll still be wearing my mask at parties and
shit.
For
real, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a whole year where I wasn't sick, and I'm like, whoa, who knew that being
yeah.
out with humans made me sick? So if I just wear a mask in public, I won't get
yep.
sick, and it'd be so great.
So true.
Yeah, I definitely think that's going to change for a lot of people. I think it's going to be a thing, because I know some people that say that, you know, they're just going to keep wearing a mask forever just because it's terrifying now to think of how... Oh shit! Why am I even talking about this again?
Yeah.
Jeez. I just
be careful.
Yeah,
we're going down
it's
that hole.
Slow. It always happens. I'm like, oh man, we're talking about
yeah.
bunnies. I'm talking about pandemic. It's fine.
It's just. I mean, it's such a like what a thing to live through. We're gonna be talking about this shit for
yeah.
years,
mm-hmm.
years.
It's a traumatic ass
yeah.
thing, and like there's been like no proper grieving. So I
mm-hmm.
feel like we're all trying to grieve, but also live currently, and like all this, just like our brains, like
right.
no, we have to honor
yeah.
this thing that's happening, and like name it, and like claim
right.
it, or whatever. But we're like, but we gotta go to work. So it's like the whole dance of like, yeah, it's fine.
I mean, I know how tragic it's been. It's been very tragic, but I think so many blessings have come out of this time. Like,
mm-hmm.
just so much has come out. Like, I feel like the community's so strong. I feel
yeah.
like, you know, just like you doing what you're doing, and just like there's just so much back people now. Like, do you remember when people were bitching about $600, the stimulus, where they're like, I cannot believe they're
oh,
giving
God,
people
yeah.
$600, and it's like
that was
a livable wage, you mean?
Thing.
Like,
I'm like, that's literally nothing. That's quite literally nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, if you don't want it, I'll
right,
take
right.
$600.
You know how
like,
much film that
I
could
so,
buy?
Yeah, for
I
real.
I need that so badly. Like, if you, I'll take it. Venmo's right here. Just give it to me.
Man, yeah, just
yeah.
a crazy. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on my pandemic tangent for this episode, but I started off like in a high place. Like I was just like, this is kind of good for everybody. We can all kind of focus on things that we love. And then like the sadness hit. And then I was like, fuck, now it's time to live again. I'm like ready to go. I'm ready to, you know, I'm doing it all.
We have the camera meetups. Photo
I'm
walks.
Doing it all. Like, I am not saying no to anything ever again.
I'm saying yes to all the things. Mm-hmm. And if I can't physically go because I'm so tired, then I'll be like, so sorry to bail. But like, I'm at zero. Yeah. I cannot leave.
But I'll see you at the next one. Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. We're doing it.
So how are you liking that G1 that you just acquired, by the way?
Oh my God. It's amazing. It's like right there. And yay. I'm three rows deep and it's my dream camera. Like I don't know why I put off getting a rangefinder because I think it's because I'm so.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. Not the kind of person that gets a camera for the sake of getting a camera. Like, I have to figure out where this fits in my life and, like, what this can do. And I totally blame art school for that. But I think it's also just me being a stubborn Virgo. It's like, do I really need this? I know I want it, but, like, will I actually use it more than once? If the answer is no, then it goes back on a wish list. So I'm actually, like, dreaming about it and being obsessive over, like, I need this thing. I mean, like, on my digital camera, like, I put off getting one until I knew I actually, like, really needed it. I'm like, oh man, I don't want to spend this money, but also I'm gonna use it, so might as well get it. But the G1 is so amazing and just so wow, what a dream come true. What a nice newer version of like my 35. I have K2, so it's just like, that's my first camera I bought. So that's like a 14-15 year old camera that just like,
wait, what do you have?
Did its thing. A Canon Rebel K2.
Oh yeah, that's a, I mean, those like, those are, they'll last you forever.
Forever. Like, and I've had that baby since I was 18, and it's gotten me through so much. Lover, but also sometimes too big. It's
right.
Like, I don't want this because people ask you too many questions, and I did not. Don't talk to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me do the art. Let me do the work.
Let me do my thing. And having the, if I, like, once I get back on sets and stuff, it'd be great to have, like, the G1 on me and, like, not have to worry about, like, people asking about the Mamiya. I mean, it's great that the old heads are like, oh my gosh, that I'm a me. I'm like, it is.
Yeah,
my gosh, let's talk about this. And they go off and like, oh man, I wish I could use it on set, but like these jobs are so fast and blah, whatever. But like, that's good, you're using that. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. But I just can't wait to like blend in the background. No one talks to me. And I just go in and out and like move. But so good.
I'm glad I found a good home.
Camera.
Yeah. Contax has it going on. I mean, they really got it right back in the day with.
Oh God.
They're just like luxury vehicles. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I'm not a car person.
No,
so
but that's like, that's the perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, because you always hear it's like, yeah, doctors own those cameras. And it's the same with Leicas and stuff too. You know what I mean? It's like always the people that had the means to do it have them. And I understand why, because I mean, I have a TVS. I have the little point and shoot Contax TVS, and it just feels amazing to use.
It's so light and light. It just feels so right. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I get the hype now. It's like, I don't get it.
I get the hype.
And now I'm like, oh, dang it. I hate being that person. Like, oh man, I did it for so long and now I'm that person.
Oh yeah.
But no, it's a great camera. It's so good. So good. Love her so
much.
Would
you consider yourself more of like a medium format photographer? I know you do a lot of work 120.
Yeah, Mamiya is my go-to baby. I didn't know there was like a war between like Mamiya and Hasselblad because I'm like, whatever works, it's a thing. But like Mamiya was like my chosen one, mainly because of Lauren Dukoff, who's a photographer.
Yeah.
Who started off in music, and I was like a young bub. And she was mentored by Autumn DeWilde, who I think used the contacts. So, like, in my brain, I'm like, all right, medium format, gotta find Mamiya.
Yeah.
So my first friend in college, we, like, nerded out over, like, our mutual love of musicians. And, like, a band or an artist I loved was, like, an artist he worked with heavily. I'm like, the East Coast is so wild and so small. Mm-hmm. And so I mentioned how I wanted to use, eventually, like, save up for Mamiya. And he was like, oh, I have one that showed me. I'm like, that is beautiful. I really want one. And so he moved away to go back home for a bit. And when he came back, he texted me and he was like, I have a gift for you. I'm like, I can't wait to see you. And so it was the second pressing of Taking Back Sundays, Tell All Your Friends. I'm like, yo, this is amazing. And he's like, also, my Mamiya. And I was like, you're getting rid of your Mamiya. What is this? And so I asked him, you know, name a price. I can't just take it. He was like, I don't know, like $350. I'm like, done.
Wow.
Done. And so I bought his Mamiya off of him and it changed my work drastically. Wow. It's been like 2012, I think, since I've been using it and love it. Love it so much. It was the Mamiya 645E. Mm. So it was a newer version of Autumn's. I'm like, yes, I'm on my way to be a very serious photographer. And then it became a thing where I like became, it like became an extension of my arm. Like it was just like me and then Autumn, my camera. and then she kept breaking.
Oh no.
And it reached a point where I knew how long it would take for repairs. And I couldn't go without having a camera for, I think, 3 or so months. And so I asked Raphael to help me find another Mamiya. Like, if I get one, it needs to be one of those old school, can throw it on a wall, still works.
Yeah.
And now I have an M645, and that's my go-to. And his name is Jameson, like the whiskey.
I love it. I gotta start naming my cameras.
Yeah, same.
They all have names, and it's like, because I don't want children, so I'm like, I'm just gonna name my cameras after my supposed to be children.
Yeah, I love it.
So, yeah.
So the Mamiya, is it the 645 AFD, or is it just a regular?
Just a regular M645, and it, I thought it would have like a Polaroid back, because I was like, I need to have a Polaroid back, but also that's just more like a like aesthetic thing, not like an actual, like, I need a Polaroid. It's totally fine. But yeah, I love it so much. I think it's been 2 years since I've had this one, and hasn't broken yet. I'm like, yay, I'm so good. I'm a great mom. Proud of myself. This is great.
Oh my God. Dude, yeah, Mamiya,
love it.
Mamiya kills it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm such like a...
So good.
I almost bought, it's so embarrassing, I almost bought like one of those Mamiya dad hats, and it was like, it was like $50 or something. It was from the 80s, and I was there like almost clicking buy it now on eBay. I was like, wait a second, what am I doing? I kind of stopped. So I'm going to, if anybody has a Mamiya dad hat they don't want, hit me up. I would definitely.
Mamiya, if you want to give us a dad hat, that's for also a possibility.
I'm just like hardcore Mamiya. Like I'm an RB67 guy, and I've been doing I've been shooting the twin lens a lot too, the C220s and 330s. Their glass is just amazing. Like it's so good.
It's unreal, and it's unreal.
I mean, yeah.
Gosh. Yeah, the reason why I asked you was the AFD is because that's what, when I went to photography school, that was the camera that was like part of our tuition.
Oh my God.
And it's funny because like you guys are like, oh, Mamiya. And I was like, it was my first like medium format film camera. It was part of school. I ended up selling it like a...
No.
My one regret. If I could tell my, what was like 24-year-old self, like, keep your camera from photo school, you dummy.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
I know. I sold it
you
for
should
like
try to find another one. You should try to find yourself one. I mean, I know they're not cheap these days.
Yeah.
But it's so wild how expensive they are because, like, again, my friend, because I was the third owner of that camera because he used it like a handful of times and the original owner used it a handful of times. So I was the first actual owner. And for $350 that I bought that camera, I'm like, you're telling me it's more than $300 on the internet? That's so, that was so weird. But again, people were like, digital forever. And I'm like, all the film shit is cheaper. I'm going to just grab it.
Yeah.
I'm
like, yeah. For real.
It's fine. We're fine. We're good.
They do last forever though. I mean, yeah, you have some quirks and some you get a bad apple every once in a while, but kind of like my Mamiya, it was somebody else's, then it was mm-hmm. mine, and then I sold it, and then it came back mm-hmm. to me, and I have it again. It's like that thing's Yay. Been through a war. I can't even imagine what it's and I swear
what it sees.
Yeah. I swear it will get buried with me. Like, that is my ultimate camera. So
yeah, don't ever, if you're like, I'm selling this, I'd be like, hold on, I'm gonna get on a plane. I'm gonna come to Philadelphia. We're gonna get through this together.
Like, I'm not selling that one. It's not going anywhere. I wouldn't dare. I you know, when you shoot a camera like that, like when you spend that much time with a camera and it kind of becomes an extension yeah. of you, like where it's like you don't even have to think about it anymore.
Right.
Like I highly suggest that when you get into photography, or if you're into it, just like use the same camera for find mm-hmm. one that you're in love with and right. just use it. And that's it.
For everything.
Yeah. For everything.
Because like it's good to be like, because I'm so not a gearhead. That used to be a thing I was like super duper self-conscious about, because I total nerd, but I'm a nerd about the things I use.
Yeah.
I don't care about the new whatever. Right. So I'm just like, that's great. But also I like my old little baby. Yeah. Like, she's great. This is good. And I think I spent so much time trying to defend why one camera, not another. I'm like, because it feels right. It feels good. What else do you want to know?
Yeah,
like, it's, for real. It feels like what I'm seeing. Like, and that's being translated. And there's no need to go deeper than, like, it feels right.
Yeah.
It feels good. And I know it.
And it's also like, you know, I'm not a gearhead either. That's, I mean, in the sense of, no, hold on. Let me explain. I mean, I'm not like, I couldn't tell you like every lens ever made that goes on the, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like you, I know what I like. Sometimes I get bit by the bug of a certain camera, and sometimes I don't. Like, the Mamiyas haven't really bit me back yet, so I'm like, okay, stay over there. Like,
it'll come.
But back to the, like what you said about like find like the thing that makes you want to make work.
Mm.
You know, when I got my Leica, I said before on the show, like, I was in a place where I didn't really want to make work, and then I had that in my hands, and I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know,
I've got to go now. Like, the fire is lit.
Whether it's a however much Leica, or if it's like a hand-me-down Canon, whatever. Like, if you feel good, go run. You know, make
that's
the photos.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Damn straight.
Yeah, just gotta remember that. You know.
Yeah. I mean, look at, for the longest time, we would have this show, you know, we would be on here talking, and it's like, well, what's your desert island camera, Tim? Mm-hmm. And I would always be like, dude, my Canon FTB, it's mm-hmm. like such a, nobody likes that camera. And it was like, I love, you just fall in love sometimes, you know what I mean? It's, love just bites you. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Love is blind. I'm trying to think of one of those like funny sayings, but
yeah.
So Courtney, when you were saying you work in music, is it photography that you're doing, or is it other stuff as well?
Photography.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I wish I could do literally anything else, but I only know photography and like being a total music nerd, that's my only, those are my only two tricks.
That's great. I mean, no, because I'm glad that you're doing what you love in what you love. I mean, that's like the dream, you know?
Yeah. That's what my mentor, because he's like, oh, wait, I thought you were just a fan of music. I didn't realize you actually like photograph musicians. I'm like, oh, no, yeah. All the above. I'm a big fangirl. And also, I sometimes get paid to photograph.
That's amazing.
The artist. Like, that's the thing. And he just always assumed that. It's so hilarious how, looking back, it's like, well, I did not really say what I did outside of school. So fair of you to think that I only loved just not like actually my entire life revolves around being in someone's space. Like, here we go.
Yeah. It's I just feel like those two go so, you know, hand in hand together, music and photography.
Yeah.
I mean, what a beautiful couple.
I think they pay off one another. Yeah.
I think that's,
to me, it's a perfect couple.
My mm-hmm. like my favorite thing to photograph, like being in the studio with a musician, is like, I can do
that
all day.
All day.
It's like, I know nothing of what you're saying. Like, I don't get anything you're saying, but just the idea of like watching an artist obsess over a thing, like any artist, a writer, whatever. I love watching you come up with an idea and like being trusted to be in that private, personal space. It's something to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the studio, you're hearing things. You're like, oh, wow, that's how a take is. Okay. Oh, you hated that.
Right.
It's that whole thing of like watching a thing go from like a hum to an actual melody, to an actual song, to an actual beat. It's like, watching that process for someone who like loves knowing why and how things are made, and to be trusted in that private space, it's just like, wow, that is beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. Like, being like, when somebody trusts you to like capture all that is like such an honor. I miss it.
Yeah, I'm forever just like, me of all people, you want me in there? Okay. Yeah. I'll do what I can, but also like,
it's the best.
So yeah,
it's so great. Cool.
It's amazing.
Why did I move from Nashville? It was just
Listen, there's music in Nashville. Like, there's artists, there's Paramore. They're not doing anything for a hot second, but there's Paramore. I think Taylor Swift sometimes goes up to Nashville. I don't know. I'm probably lying, but I would love to work with her.
But no, it was just while I was living there, everybody is a musician or an artist or something that lives there. And just the, even going for non-paid gigs, like just going to the studio to hang out and to document it for my pleasure and to make something that I did a little behind the scenes of this band that was there. And, you know, we did a little video and I ended up getting like a pressing of the record, like a test pressing. Oh. I felt so like, I was just like, wow, I was a part of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I helped with that. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. It's so sick. It's
wild. So cool. I'd love this shit so much.
I love it so much. Oh my God. That's just gonna do what?
It is. It is for real. I'm so hyped right now.
So good.
We'll be right back with a listener question for Courtney right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk comes from Polaroid. Use the promo code ANALOGTALK10 on your first purchase on film at Polaroid.com.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Develop and Hang nights that we're doing. Now, this is a Patreon-only exclusive, so we've done a bunch already. They're a ton of fun. And just so you know, it is the best way to help support the shows by joining our Patreon. So just head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Thanks, guys. All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Raphael at 2071 Photo. And he would like to know, I'm heavily inspired by your use of photography as a personal diary. Could you elaborate on how you got started with that part of your work and your inspirations? Beautiful, beautiful question.
Raphael, great question.
We'll probably cry later. Like, log off. That's so beautiful. Honestly, to be like completely honest, that's just how I've always made photos. It was always a thing that I did, even as a young kid, take my mom's Polaroid camera, making all the photos of our pet chickens and her being so annoyed that I'm wasting film on like our animals and not like things that mattered. Or yeah, so it's just always a extension of my actual written diary. And it was always a thing I never saw as art, like capital A art. It was just like a thing I did outside of school. And I think it was my thesis, like proposal semester year, like the year or the semester before actually the defense of your undergrad thesis at PNCA. I was editing photos of my family. And I think it was probably the semester before, but it was like in that time frame, I was editing photos of my family, my time back at home, and a classmate I'm still friends with, he like looked over my shoulder, was like, why aren't you showing this in crit spaces? And I was like, because it's my dad. It's just my dad goofing off. It's nothing, you know, nothing serious. And it was like something like hearing him like, you know, like question like why, is like, what do you want to know? And he just said, like, well, if you keep making photographs and showing photographs you don't care about, you're gonna get very good at making photographs you don't care about. And so if you bring in things you actually really want to, you know, make and stuff, we can like help you, you know, find a language for it. And it's just things like that, because that's what a career space is for. And so I was like, okay, duly noted, but also I'm skeptical of like bringing personal, like me work into these spaces. And so it reached a place where I really did, I was so tired of making separate work from like my actual work because the whole like thinking of like our assignment is, I don't know, light and day or whatever. And like having to think of like, all right, literal it versus it being like, well, I'm making this and this is a ongoing series. Let's go with it. And so living in that truth and like walking to thesis year with like making work with my family and my friends, it became a thing where totally terrified of like having my literal naked body on the wall, like talking about, you know, what that meant and like what all this is and like looking at myself as like the sitter and also the artist and all that was scary. But also 10 plus years later, I'm able to kind of like defend that body of work and go, it's because of the fact that as a Black queer woman, there's little agency I have over myself because of what society has and will always continue to do. And so why not kind of like make a record, a living document of like my day to day instead of like waiting for someone else like do and go like, there I am, representation. I'm my own representation, where it's like, I have to give myself the freedom to like feel all the things and like document all the things and like own all that. And I totally owe it up to my friend who like put it in the classroom. It's like, no, why would I do that? Like, I don't know. That's absolutely, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But it became a thing where I love, I mean, I do write, but something with photography where it's like, to me, it's always just been like, I love knowing why a photographer or who a photographer is outside of like their body of work. And if your life is actually your body of work, I want to know more about that because we all have a great story to tell. And I just want to know, like, tell me more about you. And I think I feel so bad because I also give Raphael so much shit about everything. But early on in our actual, like, you know, friendship, I remember saying like, you make great photographs. Like, you're such a great technical photographer. Stop taking pretty pictures. Stop it. Like, let go of like the technical side of it and just do what feels right. And I think he like, of course, got offended because he wouldn't. But then like leaned into the whole like, this photo, like technically not good. Like totally motion blur, grainy, underexposed, whatever. But this is what I felt like in that moment. And like, thanks to you doing that, I'm like, oh, I was being an ass. I didn't realize you took it to heart. But it's a lot of like me. Yeah, I learned the technical shit of photography, but then also took all that and just went with like what felt right. And like, I still go with like, you know, what feels right. And we'll always go with what feels right because there'll always be someone who like can totally do the whole like perfect, perfect, whatever, perfect exposure. But like, what does it mean? And for me, it's always been like my daily life is will forever inspire me because it's forever changing. And yeah, that was like a very long-winded question or answer to like the question. But my daily life is my art. And I think that's why it's hard to like call it art because I never felt like it was like museum worthy of like being in galleries. But then when I discovered Carrie Mae Weems and LaToya Ruby Frazier, who were like documenting their family, and they were, and also like Lauren Dukoff, like who photographed her friends and like ended up making a book, which I have the poster for since, you know, when I met her. But it's a whole thing of like looking around them and going like, these are my friends, this is my family, like they mean something to me. That's enough. Like, I don't need an art buyer. It's like, you know, find value in like a thing that I, you know, think is good. And so finding those artists very early on kind of gave me the freedom to really go, even if no one else thinks this is capital A art, to me it is. And like, no need to like, but here is, no, it's just, it means a lot to me. That's all that matters. If you love it, sick. If not, one day you probably will come around. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, so like my long answer to
I really love that answer. And I love that what you said about representation. I was like, it's, you're going to inspire somebody else to do the same thing, to like, you know, like, I just think that's so wonderful that then, and thank you for that, because like,
thank you.
It's so important. And I think, like I said, you're going to inspire somebody else and it's just going to continue to grow. And I just think that's wonderful. So
thank you.
Yeah.
What a deep answer.
Yeah, but it's good.
Great.
It's good.
It was such a good answer.
I, you know, we've had other guests who like document their family and stuff, and it's just something that I never really think to do. Now my parents are getting older, and I'm like, man, I had started this when I picked up a camera when I was 16. You know, I would have just had.
It also started as a way of like, I didn't have photos to hang in my apartment of like my family. I'm like, I should just make my own pictures.
Yeah.
And then it grew to being like more of a thing. But yeah, so seeing like family photos as like art.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? This is not art. But yeah, it's also our parents aren't gonna live forever, and I would love to have photos of them in our everyday lives, not just like, you know, Christmas and birthdays and stuff. Like, because of course, like, we all want those photos, but I feel like it's the everyday mundane things that don't get celebrated as much, and I personally find so much beauty in just that,
right?
Like, that to me, and also the history of all of it. It's just, I can go on forever about that, like that aspect of like my work and what that is and what it means.
Are you going to put it in any more books, any zines?
Oh gosh, yes. I have so many in process in my head.
Yeah.
I know it'll be coming up on the 10-year anniversary of when I started my photo booth series in a couple of years. So I feel like,
yes, your photo book series.
Oh God, that's probably like, because I loathe the idea of like pandemic art, because it really cheapens like what this entire experience has been for all of us. But there's also no other way to properly describe like before March 2020 and like current. But
so true.
For once a month, or at least once a month since the end of 2013, I visit a film photo booth and take little snapshot of myself. And the first year was just a total documentation of like my first year post-grad. Mm. So, like, I'm in the real world, 24, here I am. And then that grew into like another year, and then like grew into like another year. And now we're at like a year, I think eight or so, but the pandemic happened. And thankfully I took my last photo strip and I thought, okay, we're in lockdown for like end of April.
Yeah, two weeks.
I can like sneak in, like cha-cha, and like get a strip done, whatever. Yeah. And it became so like rapidly, we realized, oh no, we're here for the long haul. Yeah. I'm like, oh wait, but I'm not ready for this project to be over. Like, that's not how I wanted to end. And so a friend of mine, Carly, texted me and was like, I know this is like not ideal, but like, have you ever thought of like making your own photo booth, just like doing that? And I'm like, honestly, yeah, I just didn't know how to, you know, what to do, where to start, like how to whatever. And so between Carly and my friend Steph, it was just a matter of like bouncing off ideas of how to like make this long body of work, like make it go deeper than just like photo strips. And it became a thing where, all right, my partner made a backdrop that resembled my favorite backdrop, which is the only color photo booth in town, and it's a red backdrop. And she did that. I'm like, all right, 35, we're doing a thing, here we are. And then fast forward a year, I use Polaroids now as my like camera. And it's been a full year of just like pandemic.
Yeah.
But like having my own photo booth has been like the thing where the one thing I thought I will miss the most, you know, because of all this, I currently have my living room. So it's just like, yeah, wow. I miss public booths, but having that private confession in my home is like another thing. So I feel like for the 10th anniversary of me hopping in the booth in a couple of years, I'll like release a book, probably self-funded, unless someone wants to give me a lot of money to like do it, but very much.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be so good. And it'll be interesting to see like, oh, this is the pandemic year, like keep going, flip it.
You can totally see the actual like, yeah, you're like, wow, I see the change of like what happened, because the last year has been so weird, but also helped me kind of like push that, you know, body of work a little more than what I was doing. So now I have like the freedom to really walk into my own room and like do a thing, and not like, all right, I'm going to a bar, but I can't like wear this in the bar, so I must wear all these layers and then take off the layers in the booth. So it's a lot of like the performance aspect of like walking through a space and, you know, doing that doesn't exist anymore, but also like it adds another layer to like the history of the photo booth, like why the booth. And
And good for you for not letting it go, because you could have easily just been like, well,
I'm so thankful I had like friends who like stepped in and were like, what did you want to? I'm like, oh my God, yes. Thank you for saying what I've been thinking, because I needed someone else to like say for me to go like, that's exactly what I should be doing. And a year later, love it. So I see myself doing that forever.
Amazing.
Forever.
It's amazing how things like that happen. Like, yeah.
Wow. And then, but you think of that book, like you say forever, like, you know, when you're in your whatever.
The decades. Yeah. Like the whole, like every 10 years is a new, you know, decade book of like, my 30s or whatever, because like looking back at 24-year-old me, it's just such a, whoa, what a person.
Yeah.
Like,
You
were so far in the closet, but like the photo booth helped you come out, and here we are.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay, we got more questions.
Yes.
There's more? Oh my God.
This is the... Oh, yeah.
No, I thought this was Raphael. I'm gay. I have one person sending me a question.
Well,
this is the two-part camera question that we ask at the end of every show.
Sweet. But you did get more than Raphael. You did.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so part one of the two-part question is the desert island camera, the one you can't live without. It's your ride or die. There can only be one. What is it and why?
Well, she never broke, but I would say Autumn, my Mamiya 645E. Mm. It's been two, maybe three of the like hardest years not using it. But when she was in good working health, go-to camera, because somehow, even like in my most like drunkest state of like, I don't know what I'm doing, I was able to like get that focus and like have it like ready to go. Why? Because I think it's just the camera I've had the long, I mean, not the longest, but the one I've used consecutively the longest, and the one that just makes the most sense. And Jameson's great. Like, I love the M645 so good, but something about like that camera, because it feels like home. It was like the first time I used a camera that felt like it represented me in like the most like ample, perfect way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good. Awesome. Good answer.
Yeah. Yay.
Now we have the second part.
Yeah, part two. And you kind of answered this a little bit ago, yeah, but we'll throw it out there as well. It's the white whale camera. Is there anything that you've kind of had your eye on that you've always wanted to shoot that you just haven't had a chance to?
I am slowly, like, I'm going way back to, like, my first, I think it was maybe a digital class. I don't know what it was. Or maybe it was our lighting class in undergrad. And we used an RB, 6-7. An RB and RZ. And I was like, I'm not a studio photographer. I see the appeal, but like me as a person, I don't need it. But now I'm just thinking like, but I do want that bigger negatives. I do want to make those bigger prints. I'm like, darn it, I'm that person. Yeah. Like, I can't believe I was so like, I don't need this. I don't want it. It's like, but you want to print larger. Yeah. And here you go. You're like, oh no, here it is. But that's probably, if I were to, you know, go larger, it would be like, a 6-7.
Nice.
Simply, but also I'm trying to like think of like how would I use it the way I use it, because I'm such a don't need a tripod, hold my hands, yeah, hold my breath, and I do it. So it's like you can't do that with a 6-7. Like, I mean, you can, but like I've gotten old enough and I'm less stubborn that I can hold my breath all I want, but like there's all that coffee. I'm no longer 24. I can't pretend that, you know. Right. I'm okay with this motion blur. No, you're not, honey. You're so not.
Oh, I meant to do that. Okay, that was on purpose. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That was totally on purpose. Like, is it really though? I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. Like, stop asking questions.
Oh, man.
Don't question me.
Well, both outstanding answers.
Yes.
Yeah, yay.
And Courtney, this was phenomenal. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Yeah, we've had a blast. Where can everybody check you out? Where can they see all your awesome work?
On the interwebs, there's CourtneyColes.com for like professional. Mm-hmm. I spent way too much time on it, but I'm proud of it. portfolio. There's Instagram for my mini version of what you can possibly see on my Patreon. And there's also Twitter for all my shit posts and terrible takes on nothing important. And all three of the above are at Curdy Flakes, which is an old nickname from when I was 15.
Nice, still going strong.
Going strong. I'm 31, and so like that's years on it. And I wish I kept Courtney Coles, but you know, Curdy Flakes will work. Curdy Flakes will work. I'm just very happy I didn't do CurdyFlakes.com as a young age, because like that would have been embarrassing to like, yes, my website is CurdyFlakes.com. No, I'm very happy that my teachers were like, if you guys get a website, let it be your actual name and not like your MySpace
name.
They
all said that too. And that was like the one thing they drove home in photo school, was like, don't use your dumb handle. Like, use your name. And I was like, but I'm crispy photo. And they're like, no, you're not. Like, stop.
No,
and so
you're
like, looking back, I'm like, good job, baby core. Because also, I like forgot a website because I thought everybody in art school had a website, because like art school is serious. And I get there and it was just me. And I was like, you're telling me no one else had a website. And so I had one for, I think, 3 years until we all, like, have the professional practices class, whatever. And I already had my website. I already had my resume and CV. I'm like, oh, here's a working document I'm working on for, like, the last 4 years. It's like, thought we all should have one. But, like, whatever, forever, I can help you guys build yours if you want. Everything's okay. But, yeah, so thank God I did not get CurdyFlakes.com. It was freaking embarrassing.
Awesome. Yeah. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, you can head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also make some photography-related YouTube videos. Just search Timothy Makeups. Easiest way to find it. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram, and we have a Facebook page and a group you can join. And that's it. That's all of it.
That's it.
Yay!
Thank you, Courtney.
Thanks,
guys. We'll see you in the next episode.
Bye. All right. First off, Chris and I would like to thank Courtney for coming on the show. Man, what a breath of fresh air this episode was. Super inspiring. Such a good time. It was great getting to chat with you, hear your story, and just, you know, fill up on the old inspiration. You know, Chris and I want to thank you. And it was just such a great time getting to meet you. Thanks, Courtney. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early, so that's every Monday. Episodes usually up by 7 a.m. We also have a bunch of other perks over there. Our develop and hang nights, we're going to be doing solo shows, just like special events and all kinds of stuff. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to Patreon and check it out. Also, it is the best way to help support the show. And for the patrons that already help support the show, thank you guys so much. We appreciate every single one of you. Thanks, guys. Again, that's patreon.com/analogtalk. That's going to be it for this week. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're staying safe, and I hope you're making photos. So we will see you next week, guys, with an all-new episode. Later.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.